Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
As long as they don't have like everything on those models that's fucking stupid is not the monster.
You know, I kind of agree. I like the whole Aztec with the stone look, so that doesn't bother me as much. But would you really want to pay $60 for a plastic D&D monster?
Oh no, I would never do it.
I'm just saying
I would just, you know, because I'm sure there's people who would.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And it's $85, Joe.
Depends on the kit.
Yeah, the fucking thing. Oh, and then the pterodons, they're like serviceable. They're just like fine.
You know what though?
The other ones that have the giant heads are so terrible.
Yeah, the ones that are the actual pterodons actually look really cool.
They're fine.
I think they're called like razor dons or something like
Whichever one has the giant head is just terrible. Yeah. So I'm sure the ones with the giant heads will be much better in the game.
Probably.
Because they're awful.
As per the Games Workshop rule, the standard rules. Yeah, no, we got a shit ton to talk about today.
I saw you posted more stuff in the gallery for your
Oh yeah, stuff. I've been you know me, I've just been working like crazy on the Dystopian Legions.
You put up a picture of that Empire thing with like the fucking spinny nonsense.
Oh, I
saw that and I was like, that's so fucking stupid. That's the dumbest model ever.
That's so fucking Joe. God damn it.
That model definitely ranks maybe top 10 dumbest models all time.
It's so fun to put together.
It's so stupid.
I had a ton of fun putting together and painting it. Like I've put it worse. Anyway,
we all know that you're a sadomasochist.
I am, and you know my love of the Empire. So anyway, let's get into this. Welcome to Game Classy.
Game Classy.
Yeah, we haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, a callback.
Yes, I'm your host Joe, and with me as always is the the John Locke to my Sawyer. It's a lost reference.
That's stupid. Lost is dumb.
Yeah,
I hate your reference. Your reference was bad and you should feel bad.
The last two seasons were really bad. I won't disagree with you.
Your reference was bad and you should feel bad. There's the new Android Netrunner Creation and Control.
Yeah, I've heard that's been it's sold out already.
Yeah, of course. It's Netrunner.
It's Netrunner.
Do you not know anything?
No.
Netrunner's gigantic. It sells out immediately.
No, let's go into the big controversy that's been brewing, and I know
there's a controversy.
Well, I mean, it's like a week old. It popped like right after our last post, which is
normally you talking about the terror that came to Atlantic City?
The terror that came to Atlantic City.
More like the dude who ran away with the ducats. That's the name of the game. The dude who ran away with the ducats.
Yeah. Anywho, so Steve, do you know enough about this to give a rundown?
Yeah, the dude basically did a whole bunch of shit with the money.
It was a Cthulhu monopoly. Am I correct?
Fuck the game.
Yeah.
No.
I want to say this because everyone who lost their money on it deserves to lose their money for investing in a Cthulhu monopoly game.
Here's the thing. I'm of the opinion of fuck the game. Whatever. It's a goddamn stupid Cthulhu game. Sick of them.
Another one.
And I love fucking H.P. Lovecraft. But you know what?
As we have said on this podcast,
the man motherfucking wrote more goddamn stories than the Cthulhu mythos. It's like the last time I met. I don't really tell people in public when I meet them. I never bring up Lovecraft. And I used to have Cthulhu shirts, which I stopped wearing, especially to nerd conventions, because, like...
I have that shirt, by the way. I just got that one.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I got the green one, though. It's the X-Files.
Spooky shirt. Yeah. It's fucking sweet. But, every time I would, like, Cthulhu... Or every time Lovecraft would be brought up, immediately someone would be like, oh, Cthulhu, so cool! And it's like...
Cthulhu?
He has other fucking stories. Like, most of... In my opinion, most of his best stories do not involve the
You just
Cthulhu
punch him in the
mythos.
Face and go, Dagon for life!
Dagon is a fucking priest of Cthulhu.
I don't care.
Come on, Joe.
I really don't. My favorite Lovecraft story is The Tomb. And
with the ghouls?
Yeah, and it's basically just because the opening line is that you might not believe my story exactly by what I'm saying because of my present present circumstances of being in an insane asylum. And I'm just like, oh, that's very clever. I like that.
Yeah.
He's got
plenty of good books.
Anyway, so back to the game, into what happened.
So here's the long and the TLDR, if you will.
TL:DR.
Yeah. Semicolon. DR.
Whatever. Semicolons are a little hermaphrodite
You're the worst, dude. You're dropping the ball left and right.
I am.
I'm picking them up, but I'm shooting the rebounds.
I'm looking something up for the next thing that we're going to talk about. So I wanted to make sure we were there.
You're missing the three-pointers, but I'm catching them to get the rebound.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a sport ball reference.
Sport ball!
Sport ball!
Brick!
They scored the unit point in the time allotment. your local team wins, so that means you're a winner. I fucking hate sports fans. You're a sports fan, sorry, bro. You should not like sports.
Can you believe that particular display last night? I cannot.
Sorry, so the long, the TLDR is the dude ran a Kickstarter for a board game.
Yeah.
And then the game was well overfunded, his amount. So the real deal is he got stars in his eyes and figured out he's going to have this plan where he's going to found a board gaming company.
Yes.
Basically. Like he didn't run a Kickstarter that was just production costs and so on. So he moved
to Oregon.
Was it Oregon?
Yeah.
Whatever. Portland. He moved to Portland, which was part of this money.
Yeah.
He hired people and rented out like a HQ for this place. And he basically just way overspent, thinking that $183,000 was like $1 million. So yeah, like I understand some people are butthurt, but I mean, like, let me just reiterate. I'd say this is the first example of a Kickstarter really like just completely failing. And
well, at least in the gaming world.
Has there been other ones?
I'm sure there has. I mean, I'm just saying that this is the first one that's really affected us as gamers.
This might not be the first case, but I mean, it wasn't a huge one. You know, the dude was obviously not an established company.
No.
And we can bring this back to your complaint about
established companies
running Kickstarters.
Yeah.
You know what? Guess what? There's been a bunch of established companies that have run Kickstarters, and you know who's paid out? The established companies.
You know, and here's my thing when I'm talking about established companies. I'm talking about, like, the big fucking companies that get on there and are just wasting our time and wasting Kickstarter dollars. I know there's a whole thing about, like, well, it brings more people in to do blah, blah, blah. It siphons money away. And this is what we were talking about earlier in the year around April, May, when there was, like, 16 huge Kickstarters that we all wanted to get in on. But it was just like, it's too much money. You can't spread it all out like that.
But none of those were very big companies.
No, none of those were big companies.
Those were all small startups.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the thing. This is basically just an issue of a guy not making a budget. He didn't make a budget. He put some arbitrary amount of money on there and was like, yeah, this will be enough money. And he didn't actually have a plan. And what happens when you don't have a plan? Shit falls apart.
Well, yeah, and that's part of the reason why you have to kind of look into what you're going to do on Kickstarter.
I mean, some people pointed out, like, why was the board game money part of, you know, the move? You know, why did our board game money pay for your move? And it's like, I mean, on the one hand, he doesn't really have to do anything. No. He doesn't have to pay them back. I don't think, I'm not 100% sure what the actual rules for Kickstarter is.
There are no rules, man.
It's the Wild West.
It's fucking barter town.
No, I think you have to prove to
break a deal, spin the wheel.
Well, I think the way it works,
maybe we should make them spin the wheel,
is you have to prove to Kickstarter that you tried.
Yeah.
So you probably have to send them.
tried.
No, I'm saying you probably,
I know. It just sounds funny the way you say it.
I tried
really hard, guys.
You probably have to send them, you know, receipts and information and things like that. Otherwise, I assume they, you know, go after you for fraud. Because
there is a level of, it's just he fucked up, and you lost your money.
That's probably how it's going to end up resolved. You know, because I don't think that guy ever set out to screw anybody.
Yeah, no.
You know, there's a big and there, you know, people can bitch and moan about it. And yeah, you know, maybe you lost your $30 or whatever. But there's a big difference between a guy who fails, who actually just fucking fails
yeah,
and a guy who's trying to take your money.
Yeah. Because trust me, this guy wasn't like trying to take your money.
No.
There's plenty of people like. No, this is
Kobe beef jerky. there was a quick Kickstarter scam run by Dudro's Kobe beef jerky.
Yeah.
Where basically he was selling a product that didn't exist. And like he didn't have access to make a product, so he was just gonna try and pocket the money. But Kickstarter shut him down.
No, he's more like, this is more of a Shelbyville idea.
We have our lemon juice in Shelbyville. I want to talk real quick about this Android Netrunner expansion.
It's Android Netrunner.
Dude,
I know it's huge, but what are you going to say? What are you going to say? It's like, well, the last time it was overpowered on the corporate side, so now this one really bounces it up by making the runners better.
Actually, that's not at all. The game heavily favors the runner, and it always will, just because that's the way the game is.
Called Netrunner.
It's got nothing to do with the cards. The runner's always going to be favored because the corp is on the back foot the whole time. That's just the way the game works. The problem was is that, like, I always talk about, this is a good thing to just tie this into game balance. And card games, TCGs, collectible card games, any expandable card game, they're not balanced. They're never balanced. It's just not possible. You cannot have a game with options ever be balanced.
No, it just
doesn't work, because even if you manage to maintain balance on like a rate. The only way to make it balance is to just give it different artwork, but have everything do the same thing.
Yeah, I mean,
it's... and then it's just your game is straight. There's no strategy because everyone's using the same cards, and it's always like, there will always be dominant strategy.
Yeah, I mean, aside from board games are one of the few. And not even like all board games. It's just like,
no, not all board games are balanced, but board games aren't a competitive game. Yeah. Where you're constructing a deck to try and beat someone else.
This is
a deck building game is balanced because you have the same deck that I do.
Yeah. I mean, there's levels to it, but like a board game will be more balanced than a collectible card game or a customizable card game or a living card game.
Right.
Or a mini game, a tabletop war game.
Right. Yeah. Just there's no
anything outside of historicals. Right. But even historicals aren't that balanced. But continue.
All balancing is removing is lowering variance levels. Yes. That's all it is. But like my specific point on balance was that for a long time the best corp in the game has been Hospyoroid by not a huge margin, but like pretty decently. Like they're, you know, if you're not playing Hospyoroid, you better have a good reason. And most people,
well, if you're not playing Hospyoroid, you better have a good reason.
Yeah, pretty much. You can poke fun because you're not a competitive gamer because you're not good. Because if you were good at games, you'd understand where I'm coming from.
I would. I would definitely would.
But like, this set is 100 more cards for Hospyoroid.
Oh.
It's just like insanely deep for Hospyoroid. They have two new identities, which both seem better than any current corp identities. Like, I might be wrong, but like, there's two new ones that are just absolutely insane. So it's like, the rich get richer. The runner, at least, like, I haven't looked too much at the runner stuff, but the runner faction at least makes sense because the Shapers is what they picked, and they've not really been much of anything. They're kind of the worst runners. So.
I think Netrunner is a great example of a game that's flourishing right now that will continue to do well for the foreseeable future, like another year or two.
And I don't know. It might just keep going because
I highly. Well, Fantasy Flight likes to really, like, with their card games, really likes to, you know, dig that hole real deep and fill it with cards.
My thing with it well, actually, the number of cards is still less than Magic, like way less than Magic.
Well, duh, but Magic's been running for how many years?
No, I'm saying like the amount of cards that actually hit the environment. So a booster set of Magic cards will usually be like 152 new cards or 100 or 256 new cards, right?
Yeah.
Android Netrunner packs are 60 cards, but they're three copies each.
Well, yeah, but what I'm saying is that Fantasy Flight, with all their living card games, I mean, granted, Netrunner's not really a living card game, but it kind
of
is.
No, it is. It's a living card game. Yeah. It says LCG right on it.
I mean, how many packs of that of the Ice and Fire do they have?
Oh, Game of Thrones. Yeah, but Game of Thrones is super old.
Yeah, they got like the stacks. There's like just the decks upon decks.
Game of Thrones, but Game of Thrones is also ancient. It's like really old. And Game of Thrones
is like 6 years old.
It's older than that. Yeah. And the other thing, because remember, Game of Thrones was a booster pack game before it was a living card game.
Yeah.
So they still have whatever. Fuck Game of Thrones. the thing about Android Netrunner and why I say like I don't see the steam coming off of it, like Lord of the Rings living card game is a good example. When it first came out, it was selling pretty well, and like the first two sets sold very well. By the third set, like no one was playing it anymore.
No,
this game is selling so much.
Well,
it's vastly outselling any other LCG in the history of LCGs.
I think part of it is it has a pedigree.
And it had an installed fan base.
It has an installed fan base. And it's what you're seeing is what you're probably seeing in the game stores, which I've seen in the game stores, at least with Android Netrunner, is you have the older, you know, crusty gamer going like, "You want to play a real card game? Let's play some Android Netrunner."
He's like, "Sure, mister with the big beard. Do you have to play with your pants off?"
"That's how we play in my day. I keep all my cards in my shorts."
"Why does your underwear say Friday? It's only Thursday."
"These are from last week."
Yeah, just being disgusting.
Yeah.
But yeah, the new expansion's out. It's really cool. I like Netrunner, but the thing is, Netrunner pisses me off, man, because when the variants go, like, usually when you're playing the corp, there's not too much variance that screws you. But when you're playing the run, or other way around, when you're playing the runner, there's not much variance. When you're playing the corp, you can just get destroyed. Like I was playing a game. I went so on tilt because I played a game against Charlie, dude who owns the Gaming Goat in Oak Park, and I played him. I'd never played him before, but I played him as my runner, and I crushed him, just like destroyed him. Not even a game. And then the second game I played as the corp, and he's pretty new, and basically I just didn't draw anything, so I got my poop pushed in extraordinarily quickly, and I was just so frustrated because I'm just like, oh my god. Like, it's not even a game. It wasn't even a game.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's so... And that's just the thing that like, kind of bugs me about games that have incredibly critical cards like Netrunner, like Ice for the Corp, and then for Magic Land. Like, that's the... Those games are just... There's too much variance. Magic. Yeah, Magic's fun, but...
Magic.
I'm actually really digging Limited Magic, like Draft and Sealed and stuff.
Yeah, like, yeah, Sealed Deck
Trees. It's way cheaper than Constructed.
Well, yeah, der.
And there's... I don't know. The problem is that one of the biggest problems with Magic actually is too many people are very good.
Well, yeah, it's I don't want to say it's a sport, but it's a competitive game.
What I mean, like too many people are just very good at Magic, and that's an issue.
It's like they're like chess masters.
When you're trying to win a tournament, it's just because like if I approach you with a deck that's on par with your deck, if we're at high skill,
okay,
and I approach you with
which
a deck,
which is something I am not.
If I approach you with a deck that's high. Par. Our decks are par.
Yeah.
And we're at high skill, both of us. Our game is going to strictly come down to variance. Because if we're both not going to make play mistakes and our decks work, you know, our decks are high end, the person who gets screwed by luck is the person who's going to lose.
Yeah, it's going to be like two old like Dominican guys playing dominoes.
Right, yeah. If I can't outplay you,
Domino!
Then it's just going to be luck. Is there luck in dominoes?
I don't fucking... Probably, because you got to pick the dominoes.
Do you? I've never played dominoes.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things I just kind of...
Okay, how about two old Jewish guys playing chess in the
there
park?
There you go, yeah. Chaim, you're never going to stop this new assault. And he's like, that's the same assault you used 3 weeks ago.
I'm going... Every week, it's the same assault.
You say it's new every week, trying to fool me. You're never going to fool me. Where's my pastrami? Apologies to any old Jewish men who like to play chess in the park, but that's exactly what you sound
There's
like.
There's some old Jewish guy trying to flip a table. forget it!
Forget it. The Meshuggah table.
way to throw in the Yiddish there to make it more authentic.
Hey! I always strive for authenticity.
All right, I want to go into something that's going to make you laugh.
All right.
Okay. So...
It's already making me laugh.
This made me laugh when I saw it. I saw it on... Tabletop Gaming News, which is where I get all my source for all my tabletop news. I only say that because they promote us very heavily on that
site. Dude, I love Tabletop Gaming News.
Yeah, and you know what I actually love about this site is like...
It's the best
game
news website there is.
There is, yeah.
I mean, there's ICV too, but they got nothing Tabletop Gaming News. No.
The best thing about that site is well, especially with us, is that you look at all of the other podcasts that go up there, and no one ever says anything, and you don't... My favorite are the people who put the podcast up and then put like the times of like what they're talking about at each time, like from 0
Why
to
do you
10
have an itemized podcast?
Yeah, from 0 to 10 we're talking about A Few Acres of Snow, the tabletop war game. It's like, well, who the fuck cares? It's like, well, I could look at this list and say, hey, I don't want to listen to any of this stuff, thanks for the convenience, guys. But actually people tend to comment on ours, and mostly it's negative, but I appreciate that.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, these guys suck.
Hey, if there's people hating, probably popular.
Yeah, people hating, people loving. So anyway, a sci-fi war game is coming out from Sentinel Games called Total Extinction. I don't know if you've heard of this.
I think I saw it.
Yeah, it's...
like I said, I love Tabletop Gaming News, but I hate so many games. I like, usually look at them like, stupid,
you know,
stupid. Ooh, Dust Tactics. Oh, wait, I hate Dust Tactics.
Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But here's like from the announcement that they put up. It's the year 562, the Age of Diaspora. Humanity, established in hundreds of worlds throughout the known universe, is fighting for survival against cruel alien races and even against each other, as confronted by disputes that appear increasingly absurd. One world after another is engulfed by the fury of war, while the contenders are fighting ruthlessly to prevent total extinction. All right, what does that sound like right off the bat?
Fuck it, Starship Troopers?
It sounds like 40K. Yeah, it sounds like every sci-fi game out there. Well, anyway, this one guy, he posted, the first thing he posts is, I don't think we need this. The setting is uninspired, the scope is familiar, and the miniatures will need to be outstanding to prevent being an immediate flop. Tactics cards aren't going to be enough to save this. All right, that's what he put. The very next thing that posts is, hi, I'm Salva from Sentinel Games. Thanks for your comments. We will try to do our best to change your opinions in the few days we have an extended background so you can read it and have a more accurate view of them. How would you like it if that's like your big thing, your big game coming out, and the first comment that goes up there is a guy going, stupid. No, I don't want anything to do with it.
Obviously.
I just think you'd find it funny.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's not funny because it's just so expected. It's like, it's
of
not
the gaming world. Just
right,
so
yeah, it's not really surprising. It looks stupid. I mean, the game does look stupid, but I mean, I think I'm a terrible, like, if, I mean, I'm a fucking terrible barometer because I hate everything. Mm-hmm. Like, I like what I like and I hate what I hate.
No,
and
I hate, dude, you're a lot talking of shit. To me. How many times have I had to convince you about, like, things like, no, Steve, really, this is good. Oxygen's good for you, Steve.
Oh, fuck, man. Oxygen. All I need is my sweet old nitrogen.
They do have an Elohim Lancer.
It's actually not a bad looking game. I mean, the figures look good.
Yeah, the one miniature they have does look actually really cool.
They got a couple
cool
on there, and
they have the Glorlon.
And they look decent.
Where's the fucking back button on this stupid thing?
It's an iPad. Dude, stop getting your fingers all over my shit.
Your fucking eye poop sucks.
But anyway, I thought you'd get a kick out of that. I don't know, not as much as you did, but I thought you'd get more.
Nah, I like, it's just, you know, the best humor comes from a surprising place, and that's just not surprising. Because as soon as you said it, I was just like, "But this is gonna be about someone hating it."
It was so funny that the first thing was a guy hating it, but then the person like immediately responds like, "Hi, I'm the guy who's creating this game." It's like, oh man.
No, I mean, it's kind of cool that, like, I mean, if a creator is willing to just talk to like someone like who immediately is just like, no, because I mean, in the gaming world. In the world, people don't like change.
No, they don't.
So new things, people are slow to adapt, or they don't like them because they're new.
Which is why Warhammer 40,000 is the most popular game.
Yeah, it's because it's been around. It's old. It's established.
And people are like, nope, not going to play anything different.
Right. And with the specific example of Warhammer, like, they're so financially invested into it. It's
I mean, when you get like a, what do they say?
10 grand.
Well, I mean, I think I've mentioned on the podcast before, I think it was on Bella Lost Souls where the guy says, you know, we never started out to own Porsches, but now we own Porsche armies. You know, we didn't start out to own a Porsche army. We started out to, like, you know,
get a Camaro.
Yeah. Maybe a Pacer.
Yeah.
AMC Pacer. But we ended up with these Porsche armies, you know, these $800 armies up to a grand armies, yeah,
which is probably why the number of players is, you know, reducing. It's the same people buying more. Because, I mean, well, the Games Workshop stores are closing left and right.
Yeah, they are. I think that's part of their business move.
You cannibalize your... Well, the fan base is, like... It's not really cannibalized, but, like, the most people... Like, you know who's spending a shit ton of money in Games Workshop? Games Workshop players.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
People who already play. Like, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Because I know, like, all the growth I see, any growth reports I see, is always just straight cash numbers.
Yeah.
Because they have no way to track the number of people playing.
Yeah.
Anything along those lines. So I assume they raise their prices by 10% and they see 5% growth. You know,
yeah. I mean,
that means that they're actually selling less than they did the last year, but they're selling more cash because they raised their fucking prices by 10%.
Yeah. I mean, it's heading towards implosion. We said it numerous times. They're probably looking to sell their IP to Hasbro or.
Yeah, somebody with money.
Gloob. Is Gloob still around?
No, Gloob isn't around forever. What about Coleco? Hasbro ate Gloob.
What about Namco?
Namco makes video games.
Damn it! What about ColecoVision?
And even Namco got bought. They got bought by Bandai.
Is Bandai still around?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Namco Bandai.
Is Bandai going to buy him?
No.
Games Workshop brought
to
Although
you by Bandai. Although Bandai was making some deck building games, but I don't think that's going to happen anymore.
Nah.
They made the Resident Evil 1 and the Star Trek and the Star Trek Next Generation.
I hope the ultimate irony for you, at least, and not that you'd care that much, but I hope the ultimate irony is that Wizards of the Coast by Games Workshop.
I don't really, that wouldn't be irony for me. That'd probably be good for my business.
Oh, that's true, because you do distribute with the Wizards of the Coast.
Yeah.
But I mean, from a player perspective.
Oh, yeah. Just be like, ah.
It's like, oh, we got, yay, finally we're done with the evil corporation.
Well, I mean, if Hasbro buys them, Hasbro owns Wizards of the Coast. I mean, but this is the thing, too, is like, you know, you could say people might be worried about Hasbro buying it, but Hasbro does own Magic.
Yeah.
And Magic's huge. But you know why Magic is good? Is because Hasbro left them alone. Hasbro's like, these are the people we want.
Yeah.
This isn't, you know, and obviously if a Magic set fails, there's going to be repercussions. You know, people will get fired or taken off projects and stuff
like
that.
Like Wizards of the Coast, and
they're like autonomous inside.
And Wizards of the Coast knows how to run Magic, but, you know, from the more and more I've seen about them with Wizards and with Dungeons and Dragons, don't really know how to run Dungeons and Dragons.
Well, the problem is they killed it with 4th edition.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and
they killed D&D.
And me and Steve are going to try doing something. We're going to do some like bonus material that you're only going to be able to get
if
you subscribe to us on iTunes. It's that we're going to do a little bit of some Dungeons and Dragons. We're going to go back and do some AD&D stuff a little bit. You know, not much, maybe 20 minutes.
My D&D campaign is starting.
Ooh.
We designed the world last Sunday.
Is a Greyhawk.
Why would we design an existing world?
Is it Al Kadim?
No, although Al Kadim is a fucking badass location. Sweet game world, like Dark Sun. It's fucking sweet too.
I know you love Dark Sun.
Yeah,
you do. Did you masturbate over that picture I sent you?
Not too much, because it was all just like adventures. If it was the core stuff, I would have been like,
oh yeah.
Yeah, my pants have been full. Mm. A pant load.
Mm. So anyway, let's go on to my next little bit I wanted to talk about today. So we know something we haven't talked about in a long time. Way back in the beginning of the Game Classy podcast, we talked about Weird War 2 stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, alternate Weird War 2 tabletop gaming, Dust Tactics, AEWW2, Secrets of the Third Reich.
Yeah.
I wanted to kind of revisit that a little bit because...
But why?
Because actually, starting tomorrow, I mean, we're recording this really early in the week as we normally record it on Saturday. It goes up on Sunday. August 1st...
You're revealing all of our secrets.
And, well, whatever. Fucking people don't... Like, we got, like, what? 30 people listen to this, and they all comment about how Games Workshop sucks.
Yes. I like to think of those as my fans and not your fans.
You're my fans. Those are Steve fans. Steve boosters.
Sorry, guys. It was a golem. Sorry. I thought it was a goblin, but it was a golem. You guys can round a Mountain Dew on me. Sorry. Sorry, guys.
So anyway, I wanted to go back and revisit because August 1st, which is tomorrow in our timeline, but in the alternate 1985, it actually is 3 days ago. What was I going to say? Oh, Grindhouse Games is doing their Kickstarter for us.
Oh, you put that on the Facebook.
Yeah.
I saw it and I was like, that looks stupid. I didn't comment, though.
Yeah.
I don't like trying to poop over everything you like, Joe, except for Games Workshop.
Yeah. You poop over everything I like.
Just Games Workshop.
Just Games Workshop. So anyway, Grindhouse Games, they put out an alternative World War II game, and I'm putting it up here, Incursion. Incursion and Snafu. Snafu is...
Is it minis or is it a card game?
It's a mini board game. It's a board game that's expandable with minis. Okay.
Like actual minis or just game pieces?
No. Really, really nice minis.
Oh, okay.
They do... It's kind of in the secret... And in the Secrets of the Third Reich universe that exists from West Wind Minis, which is a terrible game, but the minis are serviceable as, like, kind of cool World War II figures. They have like these really cool sculpts and nice alternative heads that you could swap out on the models and do cool stuff with. But anyway, going out of there.
that was unnecessary.
That was unnecessary. I know. I'm getting kind of like a nerd boner talking about, you know, because I'm starting up Bolt Action soon as well. So, you know, I'm gonna play the World War II games. But Incursion is U.S. versus Nazis, and in the standard Weird War II style of the U.S. are wearing these big, like, mechanical suits and stuff like that, and the Nazis are just full of werewolves and zombies and everything like that. But anyway, this the Kickstarter is going up, and it's all in plastic now. So, ooh. Yeah.
Was it not going to be?
It was all metal before, and when you bought the box set, you didn't get any minis in it. Now, when you buy the full box set, you're getting all the minis in it.
Okay.
And for the people in England who still like to think that they had a part in World War II, there are some British figures in the Kickstarter for them, the MI-13.
Yeah, and you know what? The Russians didn't do anything either.
No, fuck them. USA all the way, baby.
Back-to-back World War champs.
USA. USA. I think Australia did something, maybe.
I don't know. They probably bought shrimp for everyone, or as an Australian prawns. Would say, prawns. Yeah.
Prawns.
They brought prawns for everyone.
Yeah.
That's what they did. Like, war's over. Prawns!
Oi, 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 oi!
That's British.
Oh, whatever. The fifth Kangaroo Legion did take on the Japanese.
The fifth Kangaroo Legion.
You know we're going to get some, like, you know, there's, like, some Aussie, like, fucking, like...
It's Aussie.
Whatever. Aussie.
God damn it. Yeah. Like, you know, like some, my, like, favorite is, my favorite is New Zealanders because they're Kiwis.
There's some, like,
I love Kiwis.
There's some special forces guy listening to this. He goes, right, they're on my list. And they write down, like, Joe and Steve.
He just shows up tomorrow.
Oh, we haven't even posted it yet.
Right. He's like, pulls out his giant knife. I'm like, ah, shit.
Oh, it's Crocodile Dundee.
This is going to be painful.
It's Paul Hogan. Paul Hogan's here.
It's the Hogan.
You're like, quick, Mickey, get a picture. Me and Paul Hogan.
I need a pen and something for him to sign. Have him sign like a fucking D&D book. I'm like, dude, check my D&D book out. Paul Hogan signed it.
Sign to the Crocodile Man page. Sign to the Crocodile Man page.
All right. Your friend... Crocodile Dundee, Paul Hogan.
Aren't you supposed to be in jail for tax evasion?
I stabbed you.
Warned away.
That's what the jailers thought.
Oh, they don't have real jails in Australia. Australia is a jail.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Penal colony. Yeah,
that's
like
right.
Georgia.
That's right. Everywhere is worse than America. As we ride around in our hover rounds, drinking 72 ounce big gulps and stuffing triple Big Macs with double downs behind them.
Oh, so good. So good.
Whatever.
As I'm drinking my Coca-Cola Cherry Coke Zero.
The most
delicious pop ever.
I just drink water. Which
is so much better for you.
The unwarranted American self-importance.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I also wanted to go into the Weird War II stuff because, as we talked about in a couple of podcasts, Dust Tactics got bought out. Not bought out, but they're now being distributed by Battlefront Miniatures, who do the wonderful...
Actually, I believe they're being produced by Gale Force 9, who is owned by Battlefront.
Yeah, who's owned by Battlefront.
I believe Dust Tactics is just Gale Force 9. I don't think it's going to say Battlefront on it, but I might be wrong.
I think it's just being distributed through them. I don't think it's actually... It's still being produced by the Dust company.
Right, because Fantasy Flight was distributing it before.
Yeah. But anyway, the... So now they're doing that, and actually Gale Force 9 is doing, I think, a much better job promoting it than Fantasy Flight ever did.
Well, Fantasy Flight didn't care.
Yeah, Fantasy Flight didn't care. But Gale Force 9 has been putting it out, and they've been putting out there's a lot of cool stuff coming out for it. But what I do think is interesting, and I'd like to get your perspective on this, even though I can already tell what you're going to say. War Games Illustrated, which is a very famous historical
game. Owned by Battlefront.
Yeah, is owned by Battlefront, and there's always like one or two Flames of War articles every month, even though it's like, we really don't need this much Flames of War, guys.
Nobody cares.
They've officially produced more tanks in mini form than were ever produced in the actual combat. But there was actually a thing on their Facebook page of like, should we start putting Dust Tactics into War Games Illustrated? And it caused quite a stir, sir. Quite a stir.
A negative stir, I'm sure.
A negative stir. Because Dust Tactics, as we all know, is not true historical.
But War Games Illustrated is War Games Illustrated, not Historical Games Illustrated. Even though they only have historical games in there.
I know,
which means I would avoid that magazine like the fucking plague.
It's one of the best.
That it is.
It's one of the best mini magazines out there.
Whatever.
Whatever, dude.
I don't care.
I'm gonna read my Ravage.
Just like most things, I would rather read nothing at all than read a crummy historical magazine.
You know, one day you're gonna get old and you're gonna realize historicals are where it's at.
Probably not.
No.
No.
You gotta wear suspenders.
I could do the George R. R. Martin.
You should do that for Wizard World is coming up. I don't know if you're going
just
to
dress as George R. R. Martin.
Dress as George R. R. Martin.
I'll wear the old man cap and dye my beard gray.
Yeah, and get the suspenders and just kind of walk.
I
around.
Need the thicker, the bigger shades.
Yeah,
though,
you need those.
Or
yeah.
The bigger glasses, the 80s guy glasses. And I'll walk around holding a Song of Ice and Fire. And
that would be the best cosplay ever.
What are you selling here? Oh, little toy men. How neat.
He's a big collector of little toy knights.
Yeah. I know.
His website, his old website that was produced like in GeoCities. Used to have a whole segment.
Yeah, GeoCities. I used to call it Geocities.
Geocities. It's hosted by...
Was it Hot Fire? Angel Fire.
Angel Fire.
Angel Fire.
All of the images are hosted by Angel Fire.
Yes, yes.
By the way, as long as we're on it, let's cosplay. If you take cosplay seriously...
What does cosplay have to do with anything?
I don't know. We just talked about that with that. I just wanted to put it out there... Sci-Fi's got a new show about cosplay.
Uh-huh.
If you take cosplay that seriously, you really need to reevaluate your priorities.
Why? You can make a lot of money doing cosplay.
I don't know. It's weird. No, you. First of all, me and you couldn't make.
Awesome.
Me and you couldn't make a lot of money doing cosplay.
Right, we couldn't unless we just went as I don't know. I could go as Elwood, or no, not Elwood. Juliet Jake. I could just be Juliet Jake everywhere.
Yeah,
and you could be. I don't know. I don't know who you could be.
I'd be Adam Savage from Mythbusters. A very tall Adam Savage from Mythbusters.
Yeah, there you go. You'd be Adam Savage from Mythbusters, and you got to dye your hair blonde.
I met him once. Very short man.
Cosplay is awesome.
I'm
not going to join in your cosplay hate. One, I think cosplay is super sweet. Two, you can make money doing cosplay. There's cosplay like I guess
you can make money doing anything.
They're not tournaments.
Tournaments.
There's I don't know what the fuck you would call it. A contest. I don't know.
Yeah, well, there are costume contests.
There are contests with cash prizes.
Yeah,
especially the bigger ones. I'm sure there's one at San Diego.
Those games are always run.
And then of course, if you're a hot chick,
well, you
could be a professional, which means you just get paid to go walk around half naked.
I don't want fucking nerds in my. I don't want girls in my nerds.
Did you just say you didn't want female humans in your nerds candy? Because I
would
agree
with
that.
No, not nerds candy, just my nerd culture. I don't want girls in there. You know why? Because I grew up.
Because we're better at it.
Because I grew up in a town where girls would look at me and go, "Ew, he's gross. He likes Star Wars and stuff like that." And that was
I mean, that's fair because Star Wars is awful.
Well, not for the first 12 years of my life and your life too, because you were the same way. You're like, "I love Star Wars. Oh my god, Neem Num. I got a Neem Num. I can figure it. I'm gonna put him in William Falcon with Lando.
Bib Fortuna.
Bib Fortuna.
I can't believe they cut 3 seconds of Bib Fortuna out of the special edition. You're supposed to be adding content, not wrecking the film.
He's what Jabba would call Nanki Kapopo.
Yeah, see, the thing is,
I'm not done with it. So, first 12 years of my life, called nerd. Oh, you're nerd. And then, once I get old enough, and now all of a sudden all these girls are like, "Oh, it's cool to be a nerd." Fuck you, where were you when I was growing up? You know what? You're gonna go the same place my self-esteem went, which is down the toilet. I don't give a shit.
Joe, those girls who are like, "Oh, nerds are cool,"
yeah,
and are hot,
yeah,
they're still interested in hot guys.
I know.
So it doesn't matter.
No, I just don't like when people come up to me and are like, "Oh, you like Dungeons and Dragons? I dress up like an elf," and like, "I don't give a shit if you dress up like an elf."
When has that ever happened?
It happens quite a bit.
I don't think that's ever happened.
It does. When you put yourself out as like the king of the nerds, like I do,
damn liar.
You got to deal with this shit.
You're a damn liar. I don't think that's ever happened to you.
I'm like, yeah. No, I will not be going to Wizard World this year anyway.
Whatever, Wizard World sucks.
It does, it blows.
But I mean, I don't like shitty cosplay.
Planet Arbitrary did not get our press credentials this year, so it's officially
You got hosed.
Yeah.
Well,
that's what you get when me and Pat B are the only people who are writing for the website.
You have to have a certain number of articles or something?
No, you have to have, like, I don't know. Like, normally it's just based on a readership.
Uh-huh.
And we do fairly well because, you know, we tend to get a lot of readers.
Yeah, we're kind of a big deal.
And, you know, we have a big listenership for this podcast, 30 people, which is huge in the podcast world, let me tell you that.
We're the biggest podcast in the world.
In the world. 30 people listen to us.
Consecutive weeks. My pills.
Your pills.
This is how you know when you've gotten old. You take pills.
I don't take any pills. And I'm older than
really?
You.
Really? You probably should.
This
is some fish oil and multivitamin.
You know where I get all my multivitamin from?
Your Diet Coke Zero?
Diet Coke Zero and beef. That's where I get my vitamins and minerals.
Beef. That is an Irish response.
I'm not Irish. It's Polish. Polish response.
You have red hair. How are you Polish?
Because these people called the Vikings came throughout all of Europe and raped a lot of people.
I see.
Yeah. And so they
But your last name isn't like Polakowski or anything.
No, I'm actually a quarter Italian. And that's
Pasta fasool.
You know, and I'm the least Italian. The thing is I'm the least Italian acting of all the people I know with the most amount of Italian in me. Like, there's people who come up with like 5% Italian and their last name's Wisniewski. And they're like, "Hey, bro, you know, I'm Italian.
I got the gabagoo with the mostaccioli. I need some Parmesan cheese and some ricotta cheese.
Hey, Copernicus, never get yourself to the back of the line."
Apologies to any Italians who are actually Italy, who actually live in Italy.
Italians
who actually live in Italy, because the American Italians, they're really bad.
No, I've been to Italy. It's kind of the same thing.
I've been to Italy. You know, it's real casual there. They know me. They know me everywhere.
You know, it's like I'm a quarter Italian, and I don't own one gold necklace, Steve. Not one gold necklace.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go.
And you're also clearly not Persian.
No.
If you're half Persian.
Hey, buddy. You like this?
You want to buy it?
No, we're just hitting all the ethnicities today, aren't we?
Welcome to Game Classy. We're really racist.
So, all right then.
Zoom, zoom, zoom.
Zoom, zoom, zoom. All right. So, anyway, getting back to, I don't know what the fuck.
I totally derailed you.
Yeah, it was the cosplay. It was the cosplay thing that got me. Because fucking cosplay just been driving me crazy lately.
But the costumes are fun. I mean, there's bad cosplay, but
that's what I like. I like, see, the thing is I like costumes. I don't like cosplay. Did you understand the difference to it?
There is no difference.
To me, it's the people who make it a lifestyle, fuck you.
the people who just want to dress up, like the fat guy who wants to dress up like Wolverine and is like a really shitty Wolverine, I respect him 100 times more than I respect the hot chick going as like fucking Jean Grey for the 1,000th time. And then getting upset when guys going...
I mean, that is one thing. Like, I mean, I know this is like a... What, this is a hot topic.
Are you talking about the cosplay equals consent thing?
Yeah. It's like, all right, so there is a line where, yeah, like, this is the line that you're just going to have to deal with. Like, and I think this is fair. Dudes are going to stare at your rack.
Yeah.
But if you've got a nice rack and they're hanging out, or your ass is hanging out, like, dudes are going to stare. That is the decision you've made. Your ass is hanging out.
Yeah, well, I mean,
you know, if I was a hot dude and I had like a six pack and I walked around without a shirt on because I was having my Hugh Jackman costume, which is really just an excuse for me to walk around without a shirt on because I have a six pack and I'm walking around.
It'd be an excuse for
dudes.
Me to have big sideburns, really. Is what
right. Well, also because like I'm walking around a convention full of a bunch of fat guys and I'm jacked, so I could just be like,
oh yeah, I hate that guy too. That guy I hate.
Yeah, that guy's just like, like. You know, obviously, there's the difference thing, but, like, if some chick, like, comes up to me and is like, oh, yeah,
oh,
I'd be like...
Oh, man, he's so attractive with his abs and his ass.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to look at his schlong.
Yeah, if you're hot and you are...
The cosplay versus consent thing is more about, like, people acting like complete and utter idiots.
Right.
Just thinking that a person dressing like that gives them a right to act that way. What I'm talking about is there's mouth breathers who just... don't know how to act around girls.
Right. They don't know how to act around people. And it's
so
even worse around girls.
They're like extra creepy. And that's part of the whole thing of like people going into conventions and not knowing what it is to be around nerds. Being in a gaming universe like we are, we know that there's people who are just so fucking unsocial.
And unbearable.
And like unbearable.
Can't handle them.
That we're just like, okay, whatever. But these people go into this with no idea. And so when there's a guy next to them going...
Although I will say this, at Comic-Con or any of those things, a lot of those girls are like fours, and they definitely think they're tens.
Well, that's the Joe equation. The Joe equation is the hotness of a girl at a convention is in direct proportion to the amount of males to females, inverse ratio of males to females. So, like, the more males you have and the fewer females you have, the more hot those few females are in comparison.
They shall appear. So, like, you're like, it's like super hot. You go, oh man, this girl's so unbelievably hot. I can't see what's coming out to me. And then, like, you exit the convention center and she's 90.
Well, it's kind of like,
young man, let's knock boots.
You see, like, it's kind of like,
haven't had anything betwixt my nethers since the great drought of aught 12.
Aught 12?
Aught 12.
Yeah, I mean, there's. It's bad, like, because it's been different lately because there's been a lot more girls coming to conventions. I mean, back when I used to go in like the late 90s, early 2000s, there would be like four girls in the entire convention hall, and three of them would be porn stars who had booths, and they were gross.
Well, I think that's also just because the ratio has always been, you know, 90% or 99%.
I mean, it's
men.
Still very heavily favored to men,
right, but. The general, like, what is cool is being changed, mm-hmm. and the, you know, the whole nerddom and geekdom being cooler now, like, that's a cool thing. That just means that you're just going to see, because you're going to see growth in all sectors.
Yeah.
So you're going to...
We see growth in all sectors!
Right. It's still 90% guys.
Yeah.
But there are just more people there, so you see more women there.
Well, it's actually, like, like, I pined for the days when I used to be able to go to a comic book convention and there would just be mouth breathers everywhere. And I'm like, I'm with my people.
Well, I know one of the complaints I heard from a Grognard mouth breather, you know, neckbeard.
Who wasn't me.
Like us, who wasn't you, about San Diego Comic-Con.
San Diego.
Was that it's no longer about comics?
No.
At all?
Yeah. I mean, it's not that I always wanted to be about comics. I like comics to be a big part of it.
I mean, it's not even a... Like, San Diego Comic-Con is about movies.
Yeah.
It's about hawking products now. It's not about anything.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, who fucking cares about San Diego? I mean, that's like a lost cause. That's like, nuke it from orbit, because it's the only way to be sure that
been
one's
lost.
Done.
And if you hate cosplay, that's like the number
one. Oh, fucking A. Like, I like going to, like, Gen Con's in 2 weeks, so I'm very excited about that one.
Dude, there's no cosplay at Gen Con. There's moderate to small, but... Gen Con also has a lot of LARPing things, so a lot of those people are
in costume for
games.
LARPing, which I'm cool with. Yeah. I'm cool with that. Yeah, and I also like, a sign of a good convention, just so you know, is if you see a fat guy wearing a Naruto headband.
Then you know. In every convention.
You know you're at a great convention.
funny story, funny Gen Con story for you. This is a long...
Are you going this year, by the way?
No, I'm not.
No.
I'm sorry.
Don't be. I'm not going to spend the money. Like, if someone were to, like, treat me to it and give me, like, a grand to blow, I'd go.
Well, just so you know, you can get your Game Classic press credentials through.
Yeah, I don't, yeah. I don't want to drive down there. I'm just going to take a staycation instead.
Something boiling?
It's raining.
Oh, it's raining out. That's what it is. No, I did the cheap route this year. I got my $50 hotel room.
Oh, nice.
At the Roach Motel.
You got the fucking trash room. You better watch out for bed bugs.
Oh, yeah.
I can't fucking say the word bed bugs. Oh, watch out for that.
Yeah.
No, what I was saying was, this is a long time ago. Yu-Gi-Oh was still pretty new at the time. And I think that's like, that game's around for longer than anyone probably knows. Anyway, so it was new. And, it was newer, I guess. There was, I don't know, fuck the setup.
Yeah.
Black dude standing next to me with a Naruto headband, like 600 pounds. Got a tiny, because he's so big, because he's just super tall, too. The man was just, he was a fucking mountain. Like, he was definitely flabby.
The mountain that rides?
He was bigger than the mountain who rides. The mountain who rides would be small. He'd be like, what are you, the nether horns? And like, you know, do the command, bro, whatever. Just massive guy. And like, he's got this little booster pack of Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
Yeah.
And like, the booster pack looks so tiny in his gigantic hands. And he's like, I see him like struggling with the pack. And he's like trying to rip it. And he's like, and he finally cracks open and he pulls it out. And he's like, you know, shuffle. Looks to the rear and he's like, oh shit, I got Blue Eyes White Dragon. And he just like raises it up over his head and he's like, yeah. It's
like, is that like the Naruto kid, or the guy who's like, do you see that video of the Naruto kid?
No.
Oh my God, it's like the best video ever of the guy. They're at like a Yu-Gi-Oh tournament. And the kid's like, he's doing all the hand moves and everything. Every time he's like, I'm playing this. And, you know,
oh, I posted it on Game Classic.
Oh, was that you who posted it?
Okay. There's no Naruto's there. That's a Yu-Gi-Oh!
That's
tournament.
Why I said Yu-Gi-Oh! I'm sorry.
You said Naruto.
I dropped the ball, okay? I dropped the fucking ball.
You've been dropping the ball this entire podcast.
I have.
Go ahead.
That was it.
No, it's just, the story is really funny. And actually, while I was telling the story, I just realized I actually couldn't say it because there were a couple of expletives that would be very offensive for me to use.
Yeah.
But I'll just let everyone think of that and insert that into my statement appropriately.
Yeah.
And it was very funny. Like, I lost my shit. I was just like, I had to like escape. And no one was there. He said it to no one. He just exclaimed it in the middle of a bunch of people. And of course, a bunch of people looked, and I assume they saw he was a gigantic black dude. And they were just like, oh, you don't want to offend that guy. He's giant. Sorry, guys. Who'd you call him, guys? My mistake.
Roundabout nudes.
Rounded dudes and me. My bad.
So, anyway. Speaking of staycations, me and the wife went up to Milwaukee this weekend.
That's not a staycation.
I know, but I mean, it's Milwaukee. It's about as close to a staycation as you can get.
All right, fair enough. Carry on.
Anyway, I thought for sure there would be a much bigger gaming community up there in the Wisconsin region than there is.
Green Bay, Madison.
It's Green Bay, Madison.
Green Bay, Madison. Huge.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was thinking about Madison. I stopped at Janesville. Went to the Noble Knight for the first time.
No, Noble Knight's cool.
Not impressed. Not even a real store.
Oh, that's right. You've never been there before. I forgot.
Yeah.
They've got a decent selection of their stuff out front.
Oh, no.
But the vast majority is in the warehouse.
Warehouse.
Did you get to peek into the warehouse?
No, I didn't get to peek in the warehouse.
Oh, dude. I went in there.
Did you?
Yeah.
Were you like, do you know who I am? I'm Steve from Game Classy.
I had special privileges.
How'd you get special privileges? Oh, it's because, do they work with you?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I had special privileges above your pay grade.
Was it like Raiders when they?
Yes. Their warehouse. Well, first of all, the warehouse, like the store, is nothing. It's a closet compared to. Not even that big of a store, regardless. But it, like, compared to the warehouse, it's actually like a small joke. It's just the tiniest thing ever. The warehouse is just monstrous, and it's just wall to wall, floor to ceiling games.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And it's classic games. Did you not see their AD&D section? They had tons of classic stuff.
Top men working on it right now.
Top men.
Top men.
Dark Sun first printing. Oh my God.
If you look over here, you'll see the corpse of Gary Gygax.
Mr. Gygax himself! He's become a demi-lich! That was in bad taste. I'm running away with the first edition of Dungeons and Dragons. And I roll out the door.
What's
the clock sharp, the shop clerk just waddles after me. He's like, blah,
blah. He trips. He starts rolling.
He's the boulder. Yeah. Simpsons joke. Very good.
Yeah, and then you're like, and you slide under the door, and you're like, you drop your Mountain Dew, you go pick it up.
Yeah, gotta get the dew. Do the dew.
And then you're like, oh, I don't even like the first edition Dungeons and Dragons. You throw it down and walk out.
Set it on fire. No one, if I don't want it, no one should want it. And set it ablaze.
It's like when I have like I have the first edition of Warhammer, though, the original white box.
Ooh.
And it's just like I'm like, ah, I got the first edition of white and Warhammer, and then I look at it, I'm like, oh, this is terrible. Why would anybody want this?
Why would anyone want this?
Speaking of that sort of situation, I was at a used bookstore when I was out in the Milwaukee area. And, you know, just perusing their gaming area, because, you know, I always look at used bookstores. I look at what games they got there. You know, some regular D&D stuff, some old, you know, White Wolf stuff. And they actually had a third edition Warhammer hardcover. You know what I'm talking about? The orange book?
Yeah, yeah.
And there was a guy, like, next to me, and he's like, oh, my God, the Warhammer third edition! This is super rare! And I was like, how much are they charging for that? $40. Oh, this is a steal. I'm like, all right, you go there. You go with that. you do that. Come on, Diana, let's get out of here before he realizes it and explodes. Well, and the funny thing too is that right next to him was the Siege book, which is actually much more rare.
Yeah.
And he just like I actually pointed out to him, like, that Siege book is actually much more rare, and it's, you know, they only got it for 25. You should get that if you're gonna get anything. I don't need that. This is what I want.
he's gonna play some third edition.
He's gonna play some third ed, man. Some hardcore man. Third ed. Some fucking diagrams.
So bad. Well, you had fifth edition where you had the real super characters.
You know what? Fifth edition ain't bad.
Dude, fifth edition sucks. Unless you severely restrict characters. When you
only need 15 models to play a game, it's okay.
Well, that's because the characters are so busted.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I mean, you only need, like, your unit is only 10 guys big.
My bloodthirster.
Yeah.
It's my army.
I have a bloodthirster, and I have 10 bloodletters and a cornhomed. So you can go forward and
do that. No, bloodthirster flies into the air, and the next turn he comes down.
He flies high.
Yeah, he flies high. And then the next turn he comes down, kills your general, army runs away.
Yeah.
I win! I win again, Joe! You're so bad at this game! And I smash one of your toys.
Well, I have Lord Croak, so it should be able to fight him.
I just grab him and throw him against the wall. He's not in this edition!
He's not in this edition. Actually, Lord Croak was in 5th edition.
Not the fucking undead.
Yeah, he was.
No, the Skelebones Croak?
Yeah.
He was not in there.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I think it's from Resistance. Just threw a game piece at Steve.
You didn't actually throw it. If you were throwing that at me, I can see why you're into board games and not sports.
That's the fucking worst throw ever.
Sports. Oh, yeah. That's it right there.
I sure like the sports, you know, scoring the football.
Anyway, before we leave, because this has been, you know, we were like really game heavy on the last one, so I'm kind of glad we were able to.
And we had, just let everyone know a little more behind the scenes. We had a plan of action for this podcast. We were going to cover a lot of things. We did none of it.
Threw it out the window, because fuck it all.
We got like two things covered.
Yeah.
I mean, we forgot to talk about the lizard mans.
Oh, I think we talked about it a little bit at the beginning.
Oh, were you recording?
Yeah, I was recording a little bit. I mean, whatever. It's lizard
men. Who cares?
I mean, I don't really care because it's lizard men. The release was done a little bit better than, let's say, the Eldar release.
Plus, let's not forget about the Phalanx. A bargain at only $1,600.
Who the hell would buy that?
Who would buy Games Workshop models?
People.
You.
Me. He's pointing a finger at me. And you, the audience.
Yes. Well, the audience. It seems that most of our listeners don't buy Games Workshop products. I might be wrong. At least the ones who talk to us don't.
No, but that's always, you know, I know you hate the term vocal minority, but it's the honest to God truth. Most people who play mini games, and at least who play, you know, Games Workshop, are relatively happy. They're not.
Oh, plus, and you know, I'm always shit talking Warhammer. Like, they play 40K.
Yeah.
who am I kidding? I'm always talking about how stupid Warhammer is.
Yeah.
They are playing 40K, not Warhammer.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, most of the people who
play tabletop games have a Warhammer or a 40K army. Most of them still play it.
Or have had.
Yeah, and they're just like, whatever. I'm, you know, it's fine. It doesn't bother me. You know, a lot of people with the pitchforks are ex-GW guys or, you know.
Or ex-competitive guys. Like, if you were in the... Yeah. I see a lot of the people I know who, like, quit. They used to be in the tournament scene.
Yeah.
So, like, that's a lot of people get broken by that. Unless they're willing to shell out the dollars and swap their armies, you know, every, you know, half year.
Oh, you know what? Something, you know, we got 6 minutes left. I had my first full game of Super Dungeon Explorer.
Yeah.
Great game.
I told you.
Yeah. I mean, it's... Here's my thing, is it's a standard dungeon crawl game, which is the one thing that I don't like about it. It's very similar to fucking Warhammer Quest, any of the Dungeons & Dragons games. Very similar in what goes on. Things I did like about it.
It's the goofy aesthetic that's big for that game.
It's not necessarily the aesthetic. I like that there's the gameplay.
The table that guy made for that game looked fucking sick.
It was pretty good. It was very, very high quality. However, he used like 2-inch pink foam for the bottoms, and I'm like, "What the fuck are you doing?"
Wow, that's like a good work like that, and using pink foam.
Mm. Yeah, on the bottoms, just on the bottoms, because he had lights going through the bottoms, so it would light up.
That's probably why I used the pink foam.
I know, but 2-inch, that's huge. You don't need 2-inch.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna say anything. It wasn't me. But anyway, what I did like about it, I love the mini boss. I love the concept of the mini boss coming through. And I also like the upgrades with the weaponry, how you do right, left, up, down with the, you know, and I like the video game feel to it. Mm-hmm. I feel it's a little unnecessary, like the whole video game, like, this is the console, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's like, 16-bit, 8-bit, who fucking cares? That really doesn't need to be in there, but I like the way the game plays. I'd like to see an expansion done with it, where you could do... more of create your own maps, you know, like a bigger map. Because the way the game plays right now is very small, it's very confining, and I feel like it'd be very repetitive. The more you play the game,
There's so many expansions for it already.
No, I mean, even just like the place that, like, oh, it's like a different monster coming up, but it's the same fucking thing every turn, you know? I think that there's different ways that you could play that game with the same concepts.
Don't forget that was that guy's built board.
Yeah.
He probably wasn't using the standard board.
No, I mean, even with the standard boards, because there's not, you know, that many different variations.
Well, Vondrak's Manor comes with more boards.
It's just a variation on a theme. I'd like to see, like...
But you haven't seen all of the product.
I don't care about all the fucking boards. It's just going to be fucking the board set up in the same way. You're going to beat these many guys, and then all of a sudden the mini boss is going to come out. You're going to beat the mini boss, and you're going to play more, and then the big boss is going to come out. That's what's going to be every fucking game. I'd like to see a little more variety in the play styles so that, you know, the game can have a little bit more longevity. I do like the season way that they're doing it. Like, oh... Core box, then they do Roxor, then they do Van Vondrak, and then maybe the next one they'll do is like a forest theme, or they'll do a, you know, something similar, you know, who knows.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, I did like the game when I played it, and I really like the aesthetic. I like the playstyle is really easy.
Which is weird, because you hate anime.
Yeah, but it works for me, because it's not really anime, it's more video game than anime. I could deal with a JRPG more than I can deal with watching
anime. It's definitely anime's.
Yeah, but
speaking of anime's.
Wait, no, wait, hold on. Let me finish my thought. It's more JRPG-ish style. Like, it's more Final Fantasy style than it is, like, watching fucking Shonen Jump or whatever. I pick. Is that an anime? Did I pick an anime? What is it?
That's a magazine.
A manga? A magazine?
A manga.
A magazine?
A manga magazine.
Is it a magazine?
No, it's just a magazine.
Okay, but it is something, right?
It is a thing, but it's not anything like what you wanted it to be.
Okay. Robotech. Macross.
That's an anime.
Okay. It's more JRPG than it is Macross. Starship Yamamoto.
That's a fucking sweet anime, too. No, there's actually a new anime I started watching called Attack on Titan.
Yeah.
It's fucking amazing.
Is that the one with, like, the big mechs where they're doing World War II
no
style?
Mechs.
Okay, maybe I'm thinking something different then.
There's no mechs.
Is there kaiju?
No, but yes. Like, they're not kaiju, they're giant people.
Oh, okay.
It's Attack on Titan.
Oh, interesting.
I have no idea what's going on currently. Like, I know the story, but, like, none of the background is available. So, like, all I know is, like, every person in the world is in this walled city.
Yeah.
And there's three walls. And there are titans, which are gigantic humans that are, like, deformed in weird ways. And they're really, really big.
Yeah.
like 15 meters tall, and like that's well,
don't use your fancy metric system here, sir.
They're all classed via how many meters tall they are, and then they're like there's different class there because the Titans are stupid. They like wander,
yeah,
and they just kind of meander towards you and try and grab you and eat you, and they're pretty slow and clunky. But they still kill the shit out of you because like they hunt you down and eat you because that's their whole thing. They want to eat you. But there's Titans called aberrants, which behave differently. So like one of them jumps, so he's like jumping from building to building, and he like catches a bunch of the people, and they're like, "Oh shit, he's an aberrant, he's jumping." And there's another one that's like dashing, like running super fast. So like, it's I don't know, dude. It's like I don't know how many episodes it is. Like I hope it doesn't last super long, because usually if animes last super long and they're on TV, they get filler episodes just like any other show.
Any other show, yeah.
But currently I'm like 10 or 11 episodes in. Might be the best animated television series I've ever watched. It's really good. I think even you and your hatred of anime would like it.
I don't hate anime. I've just never really, like, TV show-wise, I've never seen a ton that I like, that I'll sit through.
Well, I guess the other thing, too, is, like, a lot of things you would encounter would be the English dubbed stuff that's just, like, on Cartoon Network or whatever. So you probably saw and enjoyed Cowboy Bebop.
Oh, I did. Yeah, we've talked about that. I like Cowboy Bebop. I like a lot of the movies that I've seen, like...
Hang on, I'm gonna go check the door.
That's weird.
I am back.
That was weird. It was like it sounded like water was pouring into your apartment.
Yeah.
But anyway, as I was saying, is that you know, I like the movies that I've seen. I every once in a while a show pops up, but it's just like I don't have the patience. And first of all, it's Japanese, so everyone is always like, I'm struggling to be the best. I have to train harder, harder. I want something where I am the fucking best. I want to be American. That's what I want. You know what I like? I like G.I. Joe, because G.I. Joe, fucking the best.
But nothing ever happens in G.I. Joe.
Exactly. It's like American Congress.
Oh, and Attack on Titan has the George R. R. Martin rule for main characters.
Where everyone dies.
Yeah, it's like, oh, that guy's fucking sweet. He's totally badass. I bet he's clearly going to survive to the smash dead. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God!
Well... I think it was a comic strip that I saw where it's like I think it's either Ash or it's Goku. That's what it is. It's Goku from Dragon Ball Z. Uh-huh. I had a friend in college, and I know he listens to this podcast, so he's gonna know that he used to make me watch Dragon Ball Z all the time, and that's I'm like, I don't know what's going on.
That's rough.
And he'd be like, no, you got to watch the uncensored Japanese version. And I'm like,
actually, humorously enough, on the Dragon Ball reference, apparently we're an anime podcast right now, but on the Dragon Ball Z reference, there's a remake series called Dragon Ball Kai, which is the same exact show, but it's redone as HD, and they cut all of the filler episodes out.
Yeah.
Now, if I remember correctly, Dragon Ball Z is like 200 or 300 episodes. I might be wrong on that.
Yeah.
But Dragon Ball Kai is like 80. It's like the entire. It's like there was a lot of filler in that television program.
I was not a big fan of the Dragon Ball. Like I got it, and I'm like, oh okay, I get this. This is okay. But I think it was a cartoon comic strip where the guy, it was like Goku's like, he sees like Spider-Man doing something, and he's like, so you must have trained really hard to be like as good as you are. He's like, nope, bitten by a radioactive spider. And it's like, oh, you must have been I just built this robot suit. It's like, no, my parents are dead.
Batman.
But that's just what it is. It's like in Japanese, like 300 episodes of a guy training to be good. American cartoon, 80 episodes and we're the best.
Hey.
Yeah.
The Attack on Titan has one training episode.
Yeah. Well, anyway. One. Anyway, that's it for this week. Go to planetarbitrary.com for all your Planet Arbitrary needs. You could follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You could follow Steve at Game Classy. Like our Facebook page /Game Classy. A shout out to all of the people who talk on our. I actually did a thing with just this month where I looked at everyone who commented on our Facebook page. You know, we have like 170 likes or something on Facebook, and out of those 170, about 45 different people commented just this last month, in the month of July.
Wow.
Which is pretty good to have, you know, I mean, granted, it's like 130 people who are fans of us but don't comment on there. But just to have 45 that are individual different people who are commenting, don't feel like, you know, we're an exclusive club where you can't comment on stuff because, you know, if I catch it and I see your new person, I'll try and engage you in conversation.
It's
people slip through the cracks, you know.
Yes, I do apologize if anyone slipped through le cracks,
and
that's actually more Facebook's fault than your fault or my fault, because the way it works, I mean, I don't know if you have it set up any differently, but like a lot of times I'll miss people if they put it on the wall, because on the Facebook feed, it like it shows me what I've posted on the Facebook feed. So like I can see when people comment on my stuff that I've posted a lot easier because I can see it. But like on the wall, it's like there's just tiny little like faces and text. So I assume it's old. I'm like, oh shit, this dude posted this a while ago. Like I know I've shared some stuff from people like.
And I know and I know it kind of sucks right now too because we're in that quiet zone right before Gen Con, after Origins, before Gen Con, where there's not a lot of information coming out about new stuff. So we do apologize on that front. Subscribe to us on iTunes. We're going to be putting up some special stuff that's going to only be available through there and maybe the Podbean site if you know how to get through there. But I won't be putting it on the actual Planet Arbitrary site. Just some, you know, bonus material and stuff like that. And episodes 9 and 21 are now back and available to be listened to.
Oh, man.
For those completionists.
I'm sure everyone will be thrilled to download them for their collections.
Yes. For those completionists who like listening to every episode, the infamous episodes 9 and 21 are now back on the website.
I wonder if there's some guy who's going to, you know, download them as MP3s and burn them to CDs and have Game Classy archives.
There's like a guy doing that right now.
Probably.
And he's just like, he has monitors watching us right now. He's like, good night, Joe. Good night, Steve.
He kisses it. He touches our face on the monitor.
Like the Truman Show.
Yes, excellent.
Anyway, so Steve, until the next episode.
If you play Android Netrunner, I firmly believe that next design, the identity, will ruin the game.
Bye. Game Classy.